This free resource is from the 2013 Spiritual Leadership Conference in Lancaster, California, hosted by Pastor Paul Chapel in the Lancaster Baptist Church. This lesson is on administrative helps for managing information with Mrs. Danielle Mord. Mrs. Mord is Dr. Chapel's oldest daughter. She grew up at Lancaster Baptist Church and is a graduate of West Coast Baptist College. She has been intricately involved in overseeing Striving Together publications since its inception in 2001.
This is the session entitled Administrative Helps for Managing Information. And for those of you who don't know me, my name is Danielle Mord. My husband serves here on the college staff, and I am Pastor Chapel's oldest daughter, and I have the privilege to work in the publications department and help in the college a little bit as well. So I'm excited about this session. It's funny how you get a title like this and all of a sudden I'm struggling with managing information. So the Lord has taught me a lot the last couple weeks for sure. I read a couple statistics about how overwhelmed we can become with information. I read that every day over 300 billion emails are sent back and forth, and that there are more than 2 million blog posts every day up on the internet. There are 532 million status updates on Facebook, and those stats are just, a little bit of the internet activity that happens on a daily basis, and it doesn't even include the paper information and the verbal communication that takes place. And we've all been there when we're looking for information that we know we have but we can't find, I read that a study of a select group of companies said that their employees spent 2 weeks out of the year looking for information they knew they had but they could not find. That's a lot of time wasted on finding information. So we're overwhelmed by it, but then with today's day and age, with all the technology, we also have constant access to that information. So not only are we overwhelmed, we're always looking at our phone or checking our emails. In fact, I heard on the news last week that the average person checks their cell phone over 150 times a day, and that's probably true about me. But if you think about checking it to see what time it is, and then, okay, I'll check an email. And so they say that's over 150 times a day. So it's easy to understand why we are overwhelmed. And I think sometimes we handle that feeling a little differently. Some of us may become over-responsive. That tends to be me. I feel like, okay, I'm really busy. I've got a lot of information. So I'm just going to ultra-respond and give you a lot of information, too, because you need to be busy like me, Some may get unresponsive, where it's just almost like, you'd rather just go freeze and not do anything and go eat some chocolate or something, and you just kind of retreat a little bit, and I've been there too. But with God's help, we all know this, we can manage the information that comes our way. And I think in your notes we have 1 Corinthians 14:40, the Bible says, let all things be done decently and in order, and that's our goal when it comes to managing information. And I know most of us in here are on different, ends of the spectrum. Maybe some of you feel like this is something that you feel like you have a good handle on. Maybe some of you don't as much. I feel like a lot of what we're going to talk about is just basic knowledge, but sometimes it's not new knowledge that we need. It's just a reminder, the motivation, the encouragement to implement the knowledge that we already have. So maybe that'll just be the case for you today. So in your notes, part one, we're going to start with number one, minimize clutter. This is a first step I take when I feel like I need to manage my information better. Right off the bat, commit to minimizing a lot of the extra information and unnecessary information that comes your way. Picture right now your office area, your desk space maybe, or maybe if you don't want to picture it, it looks if it's too crazy or chaotic. But for the most part, maybe yours is pretty clean. I don't know if you're like me, but my desktop is clean, but I have a drawer, and if I hear someone important coming down the hall, everything goes in my drawer. I just hide it all in there, and sometimes I forget to clean it out. Or you may have like a two file folder on your desktop that you just throw stuff in there, okay? And those types of things can tend to clutter up. In your notes, we have two types of clutter. Physical clutter is letter A. And this can be a lot of different things. It could be office decor. It could just be stacks of paper. I know there was a time when, when the fatter your planner was, the more important you felt. And, I used to have a Franklin Covey planner I would carry with me everywhere. And I actually, when I was in college, this is retarded, I'm sure, but I printed off all my college notes and shrunk them down to fit my Franklin Covey planner to make my planner look fatter. And I just carried it around everywhere. I was just misinformation highway with my planner. And that used to be cool to me. But those days are kind of over because we have moved more toward digital. We handle things a little bit differently with our computers and stuff like that. For me, I like to do that. I like to go more the digital route. But the key here is to simplify. Maybe you you like pen and paper, and I know some secretaries at our church still prefer just to always have a pen and paper in hand. They still have a planner they use at their desk. It just shouldn't be as fat as mine was when I was in college, okay? You simplify the paper. You want easy retrieval. So just really work, that's something I work on, is eliminating a lot of that physical clutter. Some tips here. So for me, I scan a lot of paper that I get that comes across my desk or in my box. I go to our church copier, I'll scan it in, or I'll take, you know, if you have an iPhone, there are apps where you can take pictures of something and convert it to a PDF, so I can do that. Obviously, you could purchase a scanner. I have taken my planning system, my time management system, and I use online to-do lists. You can use Outlook for your task list, or there's tons of apps that you can use for that as well. It helps to streamline some things. Digital calendars, Google Calendar is a good one to use because you can sort it by, you know, different roles that you have in your life. So maybe church and, you know, your family. My husband and I share a calendar that way. So and it has the option, those of you who aren't familiar with it, where you can click if you want to see it and unclick if you don't want to see it. So it really helps. I do that for just a lot of different areas. Personally, I have two children, and Camden, my oldest son, comes home with, you know, Sunday school papers every week, and I love them because he made them, but I don't love them because I don't like clutter. So every week I take a picture as soon as I pick him up from class of his little piece of paper, and I file it, and we'll get to where I file in a little bit. But then when he's not looking, this is terrible, I hate to even say it, I throw it away, right? Okay, after he doesn't know. You know, if it's special, I save it, you know, if it's the special ones, but just the coloring sheets and stuff like that, I'll just take a picture, put it somewhere where I can scrapbook it later, and then it's filed and I don't have extra clutter in my home. Also, for music groups, I don't know if maybe sometimes you'll get like a practice track or something like that. We'll get that in our music groups here. And I'll take that CD or that file and I'll put it in Dropbox. And we'll get to Dropbox in a minute as well. But from Dropbox, I can listen to that file from my computer or from my phone or from basically anywhere. So it's always right there. And when we have a second, I can just pull it up and listen to it. So those are a couple tips. If you're actually, I like to write. So if you're like me and you do like to write things down, I especially like to do this when I feel like I've really got a lot to do and I've really got to organize my thoughts. I'll take out a pad of paper, write everything down, and then I'll go ahead and put it into my computer or into a system. So the writing process helps me organize, but then it's there for easy retrieval if it's on my computer. So I do that as well. Basically, one other thing that might be a help is to identify the key information that you need, file that, and get rid of the rest of it. So a good example of this is we all take notes during church, right? And it's probably, maybe you like to save the whole sermon. Sometimes I like to just save a quote or a special thought or a verse that God has given to me through the message. So I'll take that and I'll type it in or scan it. And then I'll get rid of the sermon notes. If you take it in a journal, that's different. But, you know, if you get handout notes, I just take what I really want, the key information, and then file that electronically and then toss the rest. So physical clutter, digital clutter, the key here is the same as physical clutter, to keep it simple. So you may not be... you may not have a lot of physical clutter, but then, again, if you're like me, I tend to be a digital hoarder because now I have 500 pictures of coloring sheets on my computer, okay? So now I have too much digital information. So we could keep this simple as well, you know, out of sight, out of mind. You put it on your computer and then you forget about it. So I tend to do one of two things with digital clutter. I either ultra organize, and by this I mean I get like, 25 subfolders going in my computer and it's like filed too much. Or you dump and go. You put it in a two-file folder that we talked about. You never look at it again. So if you tend to dump and go, one thing that I try to do is have just my main folders of my responsibilities. Again, I do everything by roles or responsibilities. So if I have something for my college class and I don't really have time to file it in a lot of subfolders, I at least get it in that folder. That way I know that it's there. If there's something for Striving Together, it goes at least in the Striving Together folder. And I try to get a little bit of organization there. If I'm in a mood where I'm really organizing and I want to organize too much, I try to make myself keep my folders flat. And I read this recently. It said try not to do too many subfolders, to keep it as flat as possible, and that way the goal here is easy retrieval. So those are some tips there. I also read recently that your authorities on the subject of management and this type of thing say that you shouldn't have very many email folders as well. I don't know about you, but when I open Outlook, it's like a major filing system here on the left, and I have so many, files there. And they say you really should only have about 3 to 5, and including your deleted folder and your archive folder. So we'll talk about this in a minute. But the key again is simplicity. And then one last tip here is take some time to declutter your computer. It's painful. it's a painful process and it's a long process, but you really do feel a lot better after you've gone through and gotten rid of all that. So minimize clutter. The number two is commit to a system. And the key here is to do what works for you. There's not one right system for everybody. So pick a system that works for you, if it's paper or if it's a program or an app or whatever, and then stick with it. One fault I have is I get bored with my systems. So I like to try out new things every couple of months. And what I end up doing is spending more time creating a system than I do doing my work. So that's something I try to make myself disciplined to pick one thing and just stay on it and make it work for a little while at least. Three components to a good system is number one, lists. So create lists. This obviously would be, your task list or your to-do list. And again, I'm not sure, how many of you use paper? Most of you use computer? Okay, so you could do this in Outlook. There's lots of different computer programs out there. I'm sure you might even be more familiar with them than me. I have just started, try new ones. So I just tried with Evernote. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Evernote, but Evernote just recently added reminders. So it allows you to have a task list attached to your notes if you're familiar with that program. But really, it doesn't matter. Whatever program you use, just stick with it. One thing that has gotten on my nerves, so to speak, a little bit with me when I use my online to-do list is that I'll put in go to the cleaners or turn in a paper. And I mark it as complete, but sometimes I keep seeing it. Again, it's digital clutter. So if it's a task that's simple that I don't need to see again or have any record of, instead of marking it complete, I just delete it so it doesn't come back up again in any searches or anything like that. And then if it's a task that I will want to reference later, I mark it as complete. That way I can search for it and see any notes that I made. So anything that's not essential, I just delete instead of marking as complete. A lot of people teach that you can have separate lists for where, based on location. So if you're at home, you have a list that you keep there, and when you're home, you work on that list. And when you're at work, you work off of that list. And that works very well. With my life stage, I have two sons, and I'm just, sometimes I'm at home, sometimes I run into the church. And I found that I was spending more time trying to, again, maintain my list than I was doing work. So, and the Lord's been working on my heart about just integrating life and ministry. Like, I'm serving the Lord everywhere. And with ministry, it's a little bit different because it all does integrate. So it's kind of hard for me because I would think, I'm at home, I can't do something. But yes, I could because the Lord wanted me to. So I've just gone back to one list. Again, I just try to keep it simple. And that way, if I'm at home and I have the opportunity to help somehow and get something done that's more church-related, I don't have to, run to the church and look at my list to do so. So I keep it all in one. So just pick a system that works for you and make sure you have a good list. Then letter B is create collections. So a list would equal your tasks, and then collections would be your filing system. Now, again, I use Evernote for my filing system, and I don't want to talk about it too much. Did any of you go to the Evernote session? If not, you can listen to that online next week when it's available. So I don't want to bore you too much with that. But Evernote replaced my Big Fat Planner, that I carried around, and I love it, and it is so awesome. Their motto is remember everything, and they say that you can find things fast and access them anywhere with Evernote, and it's so true, and it's really a powerful program that it has really changed the way the Lord has helped me manage information recently. In Evernote, you have notebooks and notes and tags, and you can categorize them. So I set up my notebooks according to my roles. I have a Christian one, and that's where I can keep my prayer list or maybe my goals. One for wife. Sometimes, you think, this would be a great family day. And then when we have a family day, it's like, what should we do? And sometimes just like, I want to go to this restaurant. We can take the boys to the park or whatever. But when I have those thoughts, I just put it right in Evernote under the family day note in my family notebook. One for being a mom, one for publications, one for, college. I can keep my syllabus, for my current semester in there and so on. So, and then one other little thing, just so if you want to research this with Evernote, you retrieve very easily by tagging, or they have a great search engine. So I keep recipes in Evernote. If I just type in chicken, it pulls up any note that has the word chicken in it, if I want to cook it, or slow cooker or whatever. So it's really great, and you don't have to spend a long time looking for it. It just pulls right up in your search. One other option is Dropbox. I'm not sure if you use that, but I use Dropbox for accessing, again, documents anywhere. You can get on any computer, log into Dropbox, and just pull up your documents. So I use that for things that I'm working on currently. Okay, so my notes for this session, they were in Dropbox because I was working on it. It was easy for me work on it that way. So anything that's in progress, I keep in Dropbox, but you can use Dropbox in similar ways that you can use Evernote, slightly different. Another way to manage your collections is through project lists, like maybe you use Access or Excel. For your database, and those are both really good programs. Again, with those, sometimes this might just be my nature, but I tend to get super fancy with them and spend too much time like making my rows just right. So even just recently, I said this doesn't have to be in Excel. I can move this into Evernote or even put the Excel document in Evernote and keep it simple. So that's an option there again. And I'm not sure if you all maybe have a church network where you can file all of your church documents on a network, but that's really good to have it backed up. And so what I use for our church network is things that I don't need to access as often. I might do a pool financial report or maybe file an employee review or something like that in the church network folder. I may access it once a year or when someone asks me for it, but it's not something that needs to clutter up Evernote or Dropbox because I use it very minimally. So in my head, I think of my church network as my archive type storage area for all my documents that I need, but I don't need to access all the time. So does that make sense? These are just ideas, but just the flow of how you can use things like that. And then letter C is to keep it simple. This is a repetitive theme throughout the lesson because it's, I think, a key to managing information. I'll give an example. So I was really into Evernote, and I decided I'm going to use Evernote for every single thing in my life. So I used it for my grocery list, and it was working pretty good because if I was, at my computer and I thought of something, I could just put it in Evernote. And then if it was on my phone, I could put it in Evernote. But sometimes I would type something in, my phone maybe on the way to the store, and I would get to the store, and I wouldn't have good cell service, and then I would hit sync. And my grocery list wasn't syncing with my new additions, so I wasn't syncing everything as quickly as I wanted. And so after about 5 times of that happening, I thought, that little notes app on my phone works just as fine for a grocery list. I don't need to, super organize. I read a statistic that 72% of U.S. workers agree that they would be way more productive if they didn't have to switch back and forth between all their different apps that they have and various applications. And I don't know if you have a phone that allows you to have apps, but sometimes you can look and have so many that you don't even use, So again, just simplifying that type of thing. So to review, you have lists and collections and simplicity. So you've cleared away your clutter, you've established a system that you've committed to it. So number 3 is how can you process the incoming information? Number 3, the blank there is establish information processing times. Establish information processing times. This is a hard balance, I think, especially in ministry, because we may leave the church at 5 or 4:30 or whatever, but we don't leave ministry at 5 o'clock. So it could be easy to be just continually processing information. And that's it's good to have a heart for it, but it's not always good, for your family. It's not good for my boys if I'm always looking at my cell phone and checking email, which is a tendency I have, to do. So I need to put that away and have times where I process information. I think I may have told you last year that how many of you sleep with your phones right by you? They say not to do this, but can you just please raise your hand to make me feel better? Okay, thank you. So you sleep with your phone right by you. And so I think it was last year I couldn't sleep, or I woke up in the middle of the night or something, and I was doing stuff on my phone. And to make a long story short, I actually transferred all of our money out of our bank with my little bank phone app on my phone. Thankfully, the Lord prompted me to check my phone in the morning. I saw what I did before my husband woke up, but I was able to put it all back before it, settled for the day. But even more recently, I have a 5-month-old son, so this was a couple months ago, and he woke up, pretty early in the morning, and I was trying to stay awake while I was feeding him, so I was looking at my phone, and I have something that I signed up for that'll let me know, when there's Christian ebooks available on Amazon that I can download, and it I figured out, because I was up at 4 o'clock most mornings, that that's when they posted their deals. So I'm sitting there and I was, downloading books, and I had done it for several days in a row. So I was with my mom in the back of the car a few days later, and I thought, I know I've probably downloaded a couple dozen maybe free books and, $1 books, but I couldn't remember what they were. So I thought, I'll just look at these and, just remember what I purchased. So I'm scrolling down and I look at a book entitled Cooking with Hot Flashes and Other Ways to Make Middle Age Profitable. And so I don't know what I did, but I downloaded that book at 4 o'clock in the morning while I was trying to stay awake, okay? So it's a good example of, that was not my information processing time, okay? It's multitasking gone bad. And I was trying to do a couple things at the same time, and I did it. So I'm sure I'll get to that. I'll need that book at some point, but Cooking with Hot Flashes. Anyway, so You need to have scheduled times where you process information, okay? So a few tips under this. Not all will apply to you, but just maybe a few might be helpful. Have times when you check your email, you process your email. I like to go into work, and the first thing I do is turn on my email. Is anyone else like that? And I just like, man, I want to start replying, and I want to be responsive to people. I read recently that is probably not the best thing to do. They say once you start an email, it's hard to get out of it because then they just keep coming. So they say to identify the night before your one or two or even three most important tasks for a day. And when you come into the office, do those things first and then check email. So at least you have that sense of accomplishment that you did what you needed to do that was important for the day first and then check email after that. Another idea, for my dad's office, for instance, Mrs. Furso is on email all the time, and it's almost like instant messaging, which they kind of say, you know, some people say not to do that, but the nature of her office and the amount of communication that goes back and forth, if she sends you an email, she really needs you to reply as quickly as possible. So what I have done on my phone, I'm able to set a VIP notification, and so when I get an email from Bonnie Furso or from my dad or from my team leader or from my husband, I identified five people that when I get an email from them, my phone buzzes like it would buzz for a text message. So that way, I don't feel like I have to constantly be checking my phone just in case they email me, but they didn't, but now I'm going to check my 20 other emails, you know? So if they email me, I had that set up. It's really easy to do in settings on the iPhone, but it might work. I'm sure it has capabilities on other phones as well. So that's one thing I do there. I read that maybe you saw this. They just did a study, I think it was last week, that it is official that 2:55 is the least productive time of the day. Like officially, they like studied all these people, and that is the time. It makes sense. You know, that's when we're tired or ready for a snack or to go to get a Diet Coke or something. So one thought is you could save your processing times for then. You know, maybe you've been working on a project and your brain's dead and you need to do something to kind of stir things back up a bit. You could then say, okay, I'm going to do my email or I'm going to check my paper mail at 2:55 or 3:00 or whatever. Another thing to do is establish time for meetings, because a lot of, when I think of information, I tend to think paper or email, but a lot of information, and sometimes the most important information, is communicated verbally. So maybe establish some times where you set times every week where you'll have your meetings, and make them as short as possible, as productive as possible. I know sometimes when I'm in a meeting with all women, it could go really long, you know, because we just start talking about everything. So just try to be courteous about that. But just give your full attention and give and receive information there. One other thought for social networking, I know that we don't probably spend a lot of time on that at work or whatever, but even still, sometimes you're checking a blog. It's part of our life, so it's very easy to get distracted with a blog post or an RSS feed that comes through or you know, posting something on the church Twitter or Facebook account, and then you start, you know, looking at things. I read something that has really been, I mean, it's not life-changing, but social network life-changing, okay? And one thought you can do is think about social networking or those types of things as a river, okay? And you can walk up to the river, and maybe you've heard this before, but you can put your feet in it, you can, you know, wade in the river, you can bathe in the river, play in the river, but you can leave whenever you want. It would be silly to go stand in front of the river and just try to catch all the water that's coming your way. And for a while, when I started having a few of these, apps, my phone or whatever, it's like, oh, I have to make sure I like everybody's and follow everybody, and I want to, you know, I just felt obligated for some weird reason to like read every single post that came through. And when I read that, it really helped. Like I'll just jump in Twitter and I'll read a couple posts, and if I want to stay longer, I can, but I don't have to. And so now I just look at that. Like that. So if that helps you, that's good. Help me out. Like, Twitter is a river, and it has changed my life. Okay. So there's processing time. So, you know, they say if you're, maybe just check social networking sites only once a day. You know, that would help. You know, here's my 20 minutes, and the kids are in bed, and I'll just catch up on my friends and what's going on, and that's it. So number four, then, is filter information at the source. So now you've established times, okay, at, you know, 3:00 or at these times I'm going to go through and process information, and I'm going to filter it at the source. Here are some ideas for this. For paper mail, Mrs. Furso or someone has said, only touch paper mail one time. And that even works for home mail. Okay, you know, sometimes I'll check the mail, and it's like, oh, I'll get to that bill later, or I'll read this later, and then it gets shoved in the junk drawer, and you never see it again. Okay, so paper mail, just touch it one time. When processing emails, only, they say that the best thing to do is only read it one time. And after you read it, you determine what you're going to do with it. And we'll get to that in a second. But a lot of times we just go through a check, okay, and then you want to go back and see what needs to be done. But it would be, the best thing to do is to read it one time and decide whether we're going to delete it, forward it, or time activate it, which we'll get to here in a second. One thing that has really changed my perspective on email is, would we want to go look at our emails? We say, I'm going to what? My email. Check my email. I have trained myself to start saying I'm going to process my email. Because if I check it, yeah, I checked them all. That's good. And now I still have 200 sitting in my inbox. But if I've processed my email, I've taken care of what needs to be done, and I can move on. So I don't tell other people, I'm going to go process my email. But when I say, when I think it, I make myself say, no, I'm going to process it. Because then it helps me think, okay, I didn't finish processing until I've taken care of everything that's in my inbox. So there are some things there. As far as meeting notes, how many of you have gone to a meeting, you've taken notes, and then you want to go to lunch, and so you just leave your notes there, and you forget about it. So the next week, when you're having a meeting about all the stuff you're supposed to do the last week, and that's happened to me before, and then I can't read my, you know, my scribble that was on my paper. So right there, do it at the source. Put it where it needs to go and filter it there. They say if you can get something, paper, mail, email, a task, and if you can do it in 2 minutes or less, to do it. And then if not, then you file it or take care of it. So letter A is delete. I think these might even be filled in for you. A lot of things you get truly can be deleted. And sometimes we think, oh, I can't delete. You know, we're afraid. I'm afraid to delete for some reason. You know, I might really need this. But try to learn to delete. That's what I'm trying to do, at least, is learn to delete what I don't need. B is forward. And you could do this by filing or delegating. So if you forward something, it either needs to go in your filing system or it needs to be given to someone else who's going to do the work. Okay, and then what? I'll give an example of this. Right before the conference, someone sent me a video script for Striving Together. So I didn't need to do anything with it. I really didn't even need to probably read it very closely. It was more of a FYI type thing. So I skimmed it, but then I just forwarded it to Evernote. And for those who don't know, with Evernote, it assigns an email address to you. So you can email it right into Evernote and even put it in the folder you want to put it in, and then it's there, and it's where it will be when I need it next year at this time. So then letter C is time activate. So if you cannot do the task within 2 minutes, then put it on your task list is the point there. So that's part one. Part one deals more with managing your own information. Part two then deals with communicating with others and managing that information there. So number five is communicating with your team leader. Communicate information to the leader. Not all information deals with calendar changes and financial reports and, you know, nursery supplies needed for Sunday. A lot of information is sensitive and personal and spiritual. We've all heard ministries, people work, and sometimes information comes to you when it's not information processing time, you know, and that's where we just need the Holy Spirit to help us know, okay, what information do I need to communicate and when? Who do I tell? Why? When do I tell? What do I tell? I tend to be very detail-oriented. My mom's in here, and she knows. You know, I practice on her before I have something to say to my dad or something, because I have to tell him every little detail, and he stops listening to me about 1 minute into it, okay? So I tease him that's why I talk fast, because he doesn't listen to my whole stories, and then I had to get it out before he stopped listening to me. I knew I had that window. But anyway, so now, but it, honestly, it is so good to truly practice what you're going to say before you say it, even in conversations that may not seem so important. You know, you're kind of thinking about it anyway. So as you're thinking about it, just process it. I actually sometimes will even get out a 3x5 card or just jot something down, and I'll make a little outline. This probably sounds so ridiculous, but I'll make just a little outline so I can remember the three key words. So if I'm going into a meeting with somebody, if I start rambling, I can find my way back. And that's not one of my three words, okay? So that's a good thing to do. It's being sensitive to those who you're communicating with. But if you work directly under someone, if you work as a personal secretary, pray for wisdom and patience, because, you know, pastors, they want to know everything, but sometimes they don't maybe need to know everything. It's a burden, or they do, and I think it would be a very hard balance to know when to communicate that information, but God can give you the wisdom to do it, and just we can pray for that discretion and that sensitivity. Another thing you could do is anticipate questions before you're asked. A couple days ago, I think, I ran to my parents' house, and my dad was there, and I wasn't thinking about, you know, ministry work per se, and he asked me a question, and before I could answer it, he said, this should be an easy question. So he said, you know, whatever it was, I don't remember, and he said, this should be an easy question. And I was like, oh, because I didn't know the answer to the question, but it was information that I should have known off the top of my head, and I didn't. But if I would have just, you know, thought earlier in the day, if my dad or my team leader wanted to know anything today, what would they have wanted to know? That would have been That would have been it would have been an easy answer. And if I would have just been prepared and thought through it, I could have answered just like that. And so, of course, I'm like, well, the computer guy said it fixed my computer. I just started rambling, and he just looked at me because, you know, I was just trying to, like, think of something to say. So I thought, oh, man, next time I just want to process the information, prepare, and just kind of know what might be on his heart so I know what to communicate. Another thing, so if I've gone all digital with all my information and I have my Evernote system and my files, I don't know if this has happened to you, but I'll go to a meeting and they ask a question, and I go to pull it up, and the network connection's lost. You know, there's no internet connection or whatever. And I've seen this happen to other people, maybe leadership meetings at church. And so, you know, what new resources will be available for a leadership conference? And the person who's asked is like, and I know they had it, but we all lost internet, but we don't want to tell that, you know, to the person asking. So what I do is I just pull it all up beforehand, so I get it all there on my screen and everything that I, you know, can think of. And that way, if I lose connection, at least the screen's open or whatever. So just little things like that. And then number six, how can we share information with the team? Sharing information with the team. When it comes to sharing information with others, there's a lot of qualities we should strive for. We should want to be sensitive, be concise, be courteous, be short, be specific. I don't know how many times people I love and work with, you know, they'll come into my office at the wrong moment. You know, I want to talk to you any other time today, but not right now, you know? And it's hard because you want to, you know, listen, but maybe you don't have time at the moment. And I don't want to be like that to others. Hey, it's okay to say, do you have a minute or do you have 5 minutes? And let me know if not, because I can come back. Be specific. I just had a baby, so I'm like trying to figure out what clothes, you know, fit me, what clothes don't fit me. I'm going through that stage. So the other day I asked my husband, I said, just in a moment of transparency, I was being blunt, and I was like, do I look fat or skinny? And I said just like that, do I look fat or skinny? And he's like, you look good. And I was like, that's not what I asked. I want to know if I look fat or skinny, okay? And so it's kind of like a little, you know, thing of mine. Like, if I ask you, so he does, do you want breakfast? Sure. You know, is that a yes or a no? You know, it's just him trying to be polite. And he's like, you know, no, you look, you know, of course he said I look skinny. He had to say that, but I don't even know why I asked him. But I don't want to, when it comes to a work environment, you know, it's really much better to be specific and to do your best as you communicate information and ask for information to get bottom line answers as much as possible. Okay, so my team shares information in a couple of different ways. We use Evernote, okay? And when we're in a meeting, one person takes the meeting notes and they put it in Evernote. They divide the notes by person, so there might be some general introductory remarks, but then every person has a checklist under their name, and Evernote even does check boxes for you that you can check off. So the person taking notes will enter all that in, and then she'll email us about an hour after the meeting and say, the Evernote is ready and you could go and go look on. Now, of course, we all take our own notes because there's gonna be some things we wanna remember and prompt ourselves to do. But what we do is throughout the week, as we finish tasks or have updates, we all can access that one Evernote file. So we check it off when it's done, or we put a little note and we put it in a different color. So, you know, the text is in black and we make our color purple for whatever reason. So if I'm putting an update in, I can in purple and put my initials and the date and give an update there. So when we have our next meeting the next week, we still go over that, but we've all read it. So we don't have to talk about it as much because we only have to troubleshoot then, and we don't have to listen to everybody's updates the whole time. So that has really transformed our meetings, and it's been a help there. I also share Evernote files with individuals on the team. So if we have a project list, I don't know how many if you have experienced this, but sometimes you'll get a project list or some sort of document, and so you're emailing it back and forth, and it's like copy of, you know, in parentheses two, and it's like the same document renamed a million times, and which one was the last version? So we share that in Evernote, and we just update there, and Evernote actually will even tell you, okay, this person just updated the file, and then you could go look and you know what's going on. It's really simplified a lot of information communication on our team to do that. One example too, my dad had a document in his office. It was just the one thing I happened to need information on. It was one document, and one of his secretaries used to always email it to me whenever it was updated. And so she got married and moved away, and I needed that document. So I asked one of the secretaries, hey, can you email that to me? She would always email it to me whenever it was updated. And she said, oh, this is in Evernote. We'll just share it with you in Evernote. And so I didn't always have to worry if I had the updated version because I just knew it was there and we shared it. So you can share that way, and it's really awesome. Then one other thing, there's lots of ways to share, I'm sure, but Google Drive is another great way to share information, especially those spreadsheets I talk about. Multiple people can make changes in the same spreadsheet. So a practical example in publications, if we have corrections that need to be made on future reprints, we share a document in Google Drive, and we'll update it there. We all have access to it. We can put comments and notations there, and we're not wondering who has the latest version. Did we miss a typo that we're supposed to fix in a future book or whatever? And again, you can share calendars in Google as well. Okay, and then part three, number seven, is hit the reset button. Because as much as all these tips and all the tips that you could probably share that help us manage our information, there will always be times when it just comes at you again and you have to hit the reset button. I sometimes look at it, and I've experienced this before. You know how when you maybe go online and the computer's being slow and it's just spinning, that little icon comes and it spins? I don't know what you do, but I give that about 2 seconds of spinning, and then I hit the refresh button on my computer because I want it just to stop spinning. And so sometimes I feel like that's how my life is. I get information, and I don't work at church all the time because I'm at home a lot, so I come in and it's like right there, you know? And I feel like I'm just spinning. And so what can I do to hit the refresh button? What can I do to reestablish some manageability to the information? I do three things, or I try to remember to do three things. The first of all is pray. And I don't think this is in your notes, but I have three P's because I'm my father's daughter and he alliterates everything, so I got that, so I have to alliterate. But the first thing we should do is pray. And actually, it's not the first thing I do all the time, hardly ever, and I wish it was. But a lot of times I think if we would just say, Lord, I've got all this here. Please direct me to the paper, to the email. Help me to process this the way you want me to, and help me not to miss anything. So pray and then process. Gather all the papers. Get them all in at least one stack, start the process that we talked about, and then purge. So this actually takes us back to point number one, which is minimize clutter. So it's a full cycle. So you go back and you get rid of the things that you don't need, and you just repeat the whole thing. How often should you hit the reset button? We should do it really daily. I read some books and blogs that say you should go to bed with your inbox at zero. I think that has happened to me like once in my life, the day I opened my email account, okay? And so I don't even know how that is possible, but it is for some people. So one idea I read is that if you need to hit the reset button, if you need to restart, if you have hundreds of emails in your inbox, you could take all your emails in your inbox and move them to a temp folder on the side, put everything in there, okay? And then over the next 2 weeks, work out of your temp box. So as you have time, you're gonna process information out of your temp box in your email. And then after 2 weeks, whatever is left in that box is just archived or deleted. They say if you wait longer than 2 weeks to respond to an email, which sadly I've been there, you know, I'm waiting on something or whatever, if you wait that long to process it somehow, that it's probably old news and people, it's almost more rude to email 2 weeks later at that point in some instances. So they say just that after 2 weeks, then just get rid of that temp folder and you start it fresh. And it does give you, you know, just looking at an empty inbox is like, it's like drinking a Starbucks, you know, it's like, oh, this is, thank you, this is feels so good. So even it's a mental thing to get that inbox clean. So that's one thing. Daily, leave work with a clean desk. That just helps so much when you come back the next morning to assimilate that and leave work with goals for the next day. Because if you don't come in knowing what you're gonna do, the one or two most important things, then you're gonna just start checking your email and you're not gonna, you know, you're gonna fall back into the same routines. So leave work knowing what you're going to do the next day. That's the most important. Weekly, you can hit the reset button. One thing that I was taught to do was a weekly update. And really, this is more beneficial for me than even for my team leader because you can review what you did last week and give an update on that and then say, this is what I'm going to do next week. And in the process of going through those updates, you really start, you know, eliminating information and clearing your own head and processing that way. And so I'm glad we are required to do that here. It really helps us process the information and helps us get a handle on it. And then maybe monthly or even I don't know, every 2 months, that's when you go through Evernote and I don't need these files on Evernote. These documents aren't pending in Dropbox anymore. I can move them where they need to go. They say that time changes what is important. So if you've had something, you know, for 6 months or longer and you haven't looked at it in 6 months, you probably don't need to. For some reason, I like don't know why I did this, but for a while I was like the self-appointed archive secretary for the ministry. And I think it's because people would come to me if I was at the office and say, you know, who's in this picture? We're doing a commemorative book or, you know, when did your dad do this? Or when did your mom do this? And of course, I didn't know because I was like 4 or 5 when we moved here. But I felt obligated to know. So I just started collecting. So in case someone asked me, I would have, you know, reference or, you know, what if something happened to her files? I better have mine. And then it hit me. I'm not the church archive secretary, you know, and I'm someone else's. I don't even know who it is, but it's not me. So I went through and like every anniversary booklet we've had for the past 20 years or whatever, I just you know, gave them, and I actually gave a lot of it to her just in case she didn't have it. Same thing, I've just done it a couple different ways. So I'll go through and say, okay, I don't need every Baptist Voice issue we've done because that's not my responsibility. I can give these to her and move on. But if I didn't take time to purge through that, I wouldn't have, you know, I wouldn't have even known that they were still in there. In conclusion, I think the whole point of managing information is to be available for others. I think we said this earlier, but ministry is not paperwork, it's people work. And, you know, maybe our goal should be productivity, but I think really our goal should to be able to have some margin so that when the Lord wants us to be a blessing to somebody or help somebody, you know, we're not totally stressed out because we have all this information, you know, that we know, okay, I've been managing this okay, so if I need to spend 6 hours at the hospital, I'm not sitting there thinking in the back of my mind, I've got to do 25 things before I leave today, and I've got to tell these people 25 things or whatever. You're available to help people. A personal example for this, one that the Lord has used in my life, is recently we had a dear man in our church, Leo Walther, and he has just been a blessing to many students in our college and many people around the world. And two Sunday nights ago, we were making some resources available for our church family. It's one of those things where it's like, again, information highway in your brain. You've got to really coordinate a lot of what's going on and get money bags and get books and help people and get people where they need to go. And I was in that mode, and I looked over, and I saw Brother Walther sitting on the fireplace. And normally I wouldn't have done this because I would just be in my information mode, but I went and just sat down next to him, and I started talking to him about going to the SOAR conference, and you know, he loved to eat candy, and so did I. And he said, you better stop eating the candy. And I said, yes, sir. We were just talking maybe 2 minutes. And on Wednesday morning, my mom texted me and told me that Leo Walther passed away. And the first thing I thought of was, I sat by him on the fireplace after church and talked to him for a couple minutes. And that was all the Lord. It wasn't me. But I was so thankful that I took time to break away from the information and had enough information planned that I allowed the Lord to give me those 2 minutes with someone so special. So I think that's the goal, is to be able to let the Lord use us, not just to say I'm productive and I've got to organize, but that I'm available for the Lord to use us in any way possible. So that's it. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we can be dismissed. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this conference and for the friends and relationships that we can build here, and for the iron sharpening iron effect that takes place. And Lord, we thank you for all that we've learned, and I pray that you'll be with us as we go our separate ways, that we will be more effective in your ministry because of what we've learned here. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.